Well, we are going back to today's sharing. We're going to talk about God's narrative. So I thought, since I'm the first speaker for the series, and I'm going to start with creations, I thought maybe I'd just give you a bit of a context why we should look at this series and what this series could potentially help us grow. Yeah. Now, first of all, what came to my mind when we look at the series, there's five sharing as part of God's grand narrative. What it could help us is it could help us to inspire to see the Word of God more, because it touches a little bit of the journey throughout the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. For some of us, it will also help us to understand the flow better. And for us who may have some question how New Testament, Old Testament is connected, it will actually help us to see how the flow and how it connects. It's all about Jesus from beginning to the end. Yeah, it's the Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And when we look at this grand narrative, that sort of resonates how it comes to. Yeah. Now, also, it helps us to look at our own journey, yeah, where we are with our relationship with God. Yeah, Mickey just now shared about relationship with God, even in the message of when she said the word on the offering. So I think it's very true. It's also, we need a lot of reflection where our relationship is, how do we connect with God, and where we are, and how this series can help us. It can help us to evaluate what we are and where we are, our intimacy is with God. Yeah, lastly, it also may trigger us, the love in us, to actually go out and share about Jesus even more to those who don't know who Jesus are. So that's pretty much, I would think, a nutshell, what we can actually get from the series. Now, the series has five sharing, or five key topics. And as we saw in the ad, it starts with creation, it goes to fall, chosen nation, redemption, and new creation. Yeah. The key verse that has been given, or the anchor verse that's given for this series, is actually from Luke 24, 25 to 27. It's the it's when Jesus was walking with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he actually shared with them right from Moses all the way up to the current time in the gospel at that point, to explain who Jesus was and who was he and why he had to die and suffer for them. Yeah. So this is the context from which it's been taken for this series, the narrative of God. So before we start on creation, let's say the word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you that you've allowed us to come together in your house. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Let this time of meditation be pleasing to you. Let every thought that comes to our hearts, let every word that I speak be enriched by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Okay, creation. Now, creation, what I've would like to do is, I like to take two key anchor verses, and those two key anchor verses is the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1 verses 1 to 2, and in John verses 1 to 3. Now, let me just quickly share with you the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's verse 1 and 2. Now, John 1, 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing, anything made that was made. So, all it says, right, the triune God, the Trinity, was active from day one of creation. Amen. Now, what it means for us is, those of us who may have a bit of a doubt, was Jesus there in the beginning? Those of us may have a doubt that says Trinity only started when the gospel started. It was from the beginning. And for us who may have a bit of a concern whether the coming of Jesus, the suffering he has to go through, the resurrection and the promise of the new creation, it did not happen by accident. It was a grand plan of God that that started from the first verse of Genesis, verse 1. That is one promise we can definitely derive from this Bible verses, right? Now, I would like to go, before going into some key discussions or some key thoughts. Now, I think it's also important we frame how we're going to approach the word in creation. Yeah. Now, the first thing we got to remember why creation is part of the Bible is to remind us that Jesus is the beginning and the end. It's about Jesus. And it's very clear in Revelation 22:13. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We also got to remember that everything that is written in the Bible is spread over 4,000 over years. Yeah, it's written by 40 plus different authors, and it's written by the breath of God. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 gives us the promise that everything that's written in the Word is breathed by God's breath through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it helps us to equip us to do His work and also to know Him better, to come complete, equipped for every good work. Yeah. Now, what does that mean? Yeah. But we may see the style of writing a little bit different. That's because it follows the age that the writer was, the surrounding he was in. But the consistency of the word, the evidence that is provided, and also the truth is in there, is all connected. So as a result, when we look at creations, we cannot just look creation as a separate story. We need to look at it as throughout the Bible, how God has influenced or how God has decided to reveal Himself in the Word through that 4,000 over years of writing. Now, the other thing also we have to keep in mind is this. It's a lot of relational is what is written in the Word. It is about God and man, revelation of God's character. Who God is, how does He look at mankind, how does He want to interact with mankind, how does He want to keep connected with us. Yeah, it's not about science. Yeah, now it's not about trying to put numbers and graphics and all those things together. Now, as an example, if you look at that picture, that is the picture of Van Gogh, Starry, Starry Night. Now, if you were to ask a doctor about myself, he would probably tell me, this guy is obese, he's too, he's 100 over kgs, he's this tall, this is how his blood pressure is, his condition is, his sugar level is, this and that. So it's a very descriptive of who I am from a very, if you may, a mechanical or a scientific view. But if you talk to my wife, Deborah, she'll probably say, okay, this guy, he loves to enjoy food. He likes to get up in the morning. He likes to do this. He likes to do that. So it's a description of me as a person. So that's how we need to look at the Bible. It's a description of God as a person who wants to be connected with us, who's also very relational. Now, as we read the Bible, we also need to remember it's not a precise science. It's the heart of God that we are seeking now. Okay, so just to share about a little bit on what it means, how God reveals Himself, is this. Now, some of the mysteries are not revealed to us. So when we read the Word, we also need to know that from a consistency perspective, how it becomes, how the Word becomes even more consistent, even more truthful, is some of the evidences that we keep seeing. Now, if you do a search on the net, you will find that there's a lot of archaeological finds that's taking place now. And from part of this archaeological find, right, you see that there is more truth being revealed in evidences, in findings that actually proves the Word of God is true. Yeah. Now, one quick illustration. I'm sure some of you would have heard the word Shroud of Turin. That's the cloth that is believed to be used to wrap Jesus when He died and He was placed in the tomb. And the latest analysis, as late as April 2022, confirmed that the the cloth is actually from the time of Jesus. So imagine some of the evidences that's left behind is 2,000 years old as a cloth, to show there is truth in the Word of God. So what we need to do is we need to journey with God. And as we keep reading the Word, don't look for scientific facts, but look for the heart of God. That's how we need to come to this series. Yeah. Now, creation flow. Now, if you look at creation flow, what are some of the key things we can take out from here? Some of the key things that we can take out from creation is this. There was chaos, and God put actually plan, structure, and order. Yeah, that's very clear, the way it's done. Now, when we look at this, one thing that we also like to, we should keep in our thought is this. If you look at 2 Peter 3:8, yeah, it says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So when we say day one in the Bible, day two, day three, day four, the definition and space of time may not be the one day we know today. Do keep that in mind. Because when day one is based on what God says is his day one, it can be 2 million years, the first day one. Day two can be maybe a few 100,000 years. Yeah, as we try understand more of our earth, these things will be revealed that even more supports that when creation took place, the definition of space and time was based on what God decided to define, not on this 24 hours we know. That's one. Now, when we look at the creation, even when you get up in the morning, for those of us who stay in probably high rise, and when you look outside and you see the sunrise across the bridge in Penang, or even if you see the sunrise across a hill, you may actually be touched to know that God sculptured it with love and joy. It's not about just doing something mechanical like putting together a couple of screws and making a box. It's about putting what he had in his mind, in his heart, to come out. So when we look at the earth as he created, we got to understand it's done out of his love. Yeah, it maintains a cycle to self-sustain. So if we look at our daily lives today, yeah, the sun rises, the sunset, the moon comes up, you know, there's enough sun for things to grow, there's enough day and night for us to rest, this and that, and it's a cycle. And God put this cycle in place for self-sustenance. And the pinnacle of creation, as it says in Genesis 1:27, is man itself. So if we talk about man, he created us in his image, he put us on earth, male and female, for us to have a continuous relationship with him. So that's why even in creation, it's very clear. It's a God of God who is relational, who wants us to be connected with him. Now, the last day, of course, signifies rest. And rest signifies something that's very important. God was so happy with his creation. Now, he wouldn't have rested on day seven if he's not happy for his creation. It was completion, and it's also renewal. In the same way, I think we also need to learn how to enjoy the rest that he has given. That we look at contentment on the blessings that he has given, being thankful. We also, it's a reminder for us to know that, you know, the life that we know continues in a relational relationship with him, and will continue to shape according to his purposes, and that rest is for us to seek and know him. Now, when we look at this cycle of creation, right, and when I was preparing this, there was quite a bit of thought and quite a bit of debate still going on. Why day one got light, day four also got light? Yeah, I don't have an answer. Yeah, this is where I said the mind of God is so much bigger. And in Isaiah 55:8-9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." All I can say is this. We don't know how God thought, he wanted to create it. We don't know what was in God's mind when he created the complexity behind it. And we don't know why day one is light and dark, and day four is sun, moon, and stars. It's maybe day four is about putting in a cycle that he thought was right. And day one is about his light itself being the radiance for the earth to grow. Yeah, there are different meanings and different things that scholars look at. All I can say is his thoughts are way higher. And as I mentioned, like the Shroud of Turin, when our minds are ready, the truth will be revealed. When our relationship becomes closer with him, the truth will be revealed. That God has promised in the books of the prophets, they will continue to reveal the truth to us as we get ready. So rather than, you know, having a scientific or a logical debate that comes from our own wisdom to say, you know, day one light, day four so light, I think what we should look at is in the big context, like the starry host picture, how God created the world, how he wanted us to be part of that creation, how he wanted us to, or how he created us in his image, and he wanted us to be part of that relationship with him, and how he wanted to reveal who he was. I think that's the more important thing that we need to look at creation. If we start debating why this, why that, it doesn't congruent with some of the findings, we then start getting lost in the fact that we start using our human wisdom to judge God. That's not the purpose. It's for God to speak to us his truth, his love, and what he wanted to do with us as part of his grand plan. Right? So let's move on now. Okay. The revelation in creation. Now, the whole idea is for us to know who God is. And if we look at the revelation in creation, what did God actually want us to know? Or what did God actually want us to know about him? Now, I look at it this way. The first one is God is omnipotent. Omnipotence means he's all-powerful. Imagine, today I speak and I tell someone, I can, at the most I can do is give instruction or tell people what to do. But if you talk about God, he spoke for things to become. He spoke and it was created. So God also mentioned in the Bible that his word, when he speaks out, it does not go out and return back without accomplishing his purpose. Just take a little bit of step. You know, imagine, just God said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be a split between the heavens and the earth, and there was a split. Let there be, you know, plants of all type to grow. It happened. Just by speaking, God can make things happen. That's how powerful God is. So today, in our own circumstances, wherever we are, all we need is God to see his word, and it will happen. What it requires us is to go to him, right? So Psalm 33, verse 9, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts, right? Verse 9 says, for he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. That is the promise, and that is what we know, that God, when God spoke, all things came to be. Secondly, what can we see from his creation is God's glory. Now, Psalm 19:1, it says something like this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So it means that, you know, when we look at the heavens, when we look at everything around us, and if we really look at it with the heart of God, we can see his glory in his creation. Yeah. Today morning when I got up, one of the nicest things that I actually saw was the sunrise across the Penang Bridge, because I think the sun is facing this direction now, or the earth is facing sun in this direction. It's amazing to see, you know, how wonderful his creation is and how we can glorify him when we look at him with just a simple word, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Now, it also portrays God's majesty. Psalm 111:2-3, it says, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. So it's also when we want to study about creation, it's not about to rebuke what God has created. It's also for us to know God and to actually understand and delight in his creation. That's why we should look at what we want to learn from it.
full of splendor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. Yeah. Now, so, you know, his majesty work is everywhere, and for his righteousness to endure. Now, God's wisdom, Jeremiah 10:12, it says, it is who has made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding, stretch out the heavens. Yeah. By his wisdom, he stretched it out. And our wisdom will never match to his wisdom. So there will be always mysteries for us to explore. There will be always things for us to find about the earth. Now, so for that, let me just illustrate. So far, we have only been able to identify 1.6 million species on earth. Now, if you take a rough guess, how many new species is found every year? You'll be surprised with the number, 15,000 to 18,000. And, you know, does that mean we're coming to a saturation point? The answer is no. Most of the scientists, most of the people who look at evolution, creation, and all those believe on Earth, there's more than 100 million species that needs to be identified. Now, coming close to home, the latest species that has found, and it was declared in 1 January 2023, it's called the Jiangxi Grand Salamander. Yeah, it's 6.5 feet long. It's not small. And it's been declared as a new species. And it's very rare near the Jiangxi province, and it's very close to where the panda habitats are. Yeah, so it's amazing. You know, 6.5 feet, nobody see it, and we saw it in 2023. And it's declared as a new species. And if you go to Amazon, every other day, there's some new frogs being found, some new animals, some new lizards, this and that. That's how amazing his wisdom is. That's being revealed through the ages, through the creation that we see. Yeah. Now, God is relational. As I mentioned before, as we shared, as we looked, he wants somebody to enjoy his creation. He wants us to be part of a relationship with him, to know the purpose of why we are here and to do his work. And finally, God is love. And 1 John 4:16, it says, so we have come to know and to believe that the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Yeah. So he loved the world. He loved us. That's why we are here. That's why we have this creation. Now, question is, us today, how do we respond? There's a lot of Bible verses. Please take your time to go through them. But I just want to put some thought in us. Every day we get up in the morning. Yeah, some of us think, oh, done, another day of work, another day of, you know, mulling through the same thing over and over again. A lot of us think, oh, when is the week going to end so I can get my Saturday? Yeah. A lot of us think, you know, another 8 to 12 hours of work. And some of us may say, okay, I don't know what to do when I get up today morning. Maybe we can start our day and look at in awe and admiration of God's creation. Yeah. That itself puts a thankful heart to start the day. And I'm sure when we start the day with a thankful heart, the whole day's agenda falls in nicely with the idea of us doing it well, with the thought that we can actually go through with a lot more thanksgiving in our heart that rubs up on a lot of other people, the joy that we enjoy in God. Yeah? Worship him. When we look at the creation, when we look at things so amazing, worship him. Remember, he's the God, our God. He's the only God we have. And in his first commandment, he called us to worship him. Worship him. Be thankful that he has given us all this. Yeah. Fourth one, this is where something that I really like to challenge all of us. We got to be responsible for his creation. And this is something that's difficult, because we are all, if you look at the Bible verses, we are all called to be stewards. So when we're called to be stewards, we are representing God in this world to look after his accounts, to look after his creation, to look after the responsibility that he has given us. So today, you know, one thing I kind of very surprised when I went to India, I had a long list of things to shop as well. So I had to go to the malls, and when I was looking for those, right, one thing that amazed me, their plastic bag, they don't give plastic bag anymore. They actually give you a biodegradable bag. And the biodegradable bag, from what I understood, is made from rice husk or something like that. Even in India, they are pushing very hard on how to be much more sustainable. When I was in the plane, there was a clear announcement, you're not allowed to take any single use plastic out of the plane. If you do and the authorities catch you, there's a fine. Yeah? So they've gone to that extent. To us, if you look at Malaysians, I think Penang is amazing. 2 ringgit for plastic on Mondays or more. I can't remember nowadays. You know, some other parts of the country is still a long way from that. And if you look at some of the things that are taking place, even if the big roundabout near the Bayan Lepas, you look at the big trench around it, every time the water goes up, comes down, you can see the amount of garbage that's still floating. And, you know, it's a challenge for us. If we really look at his creation in awe and admiration, and we look at it that we are responsible to do that, I think in each on our own ways, we need to be responsible for his creation. Yeah. If you look at even laws and things, it's changing. I think from 2026, in Europe, if you want to continue to do business, or any organization that is actually in Europe, when you actually declare your profit and loss, financial, right beside it, you need to declare a profit and loss on carbon footprint. Yeah. So laws are being put in place, but I think laws are laws. I think we as his children, we need to go beyond that and actually take some accountability on our surroundings to do things differently. Now, lastly, we see creation. We have an opportunity to talk to people about his creation. And I also think we should take that opportunity to share about him. As we share about creation, as we enjoy with people who may not know Jesus, who may not know who our God is, take that opportunity to share his story. Now, so I think that I'm coming to the end. I think I just want to stress a few things that we all can do together. Today, if we need any reminder who our God is, he's a God of omnipotent. He's a God who's all-powerful. When he speaks, things come into our place. Ask him to speak in our lives for things to come in place according to his will. Yeah, remember, his wisdom is above all our wisdom. Let's not try to decipher the Bible in our own wisdom, but let's try to learn to enjoy his word, grasp his word, live his word according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit for us to understand who God is. Now, lastly, when I was preparing this slide, right, what came into my mind is this. At the end of the day, all it matters is this, John 3:16. He loved this world so much that he decided to send his son to die for us so that we can be reconnected and we can be actually having our eternal life, which is the design that he has for us. Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity where you have given us to look at creation. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us you're a God who is all-powerful. And you're a God who speaks to us, and you can make things happen in our life just by you speaking to us. Help us to remember your wisdom is above all wisdom. Help us to enjoy your majesty, your glory, and help us to come with a penitent heart to worship you, looking at the creation that we have around us. Help us to be good stewards to the responsibility that you've given us to look after your creation. As we go to the next topic under the narrative, the fall, we ask that you prepare our minds to journey through this journey, to know you better and to come into close relational with you, and prepare our hearts to share your message to many. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen.